I'll be reading from Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Titus 2, 1 through 10. But you must continue to speak proper things for healthy teaching. Tell the older men to be serious, worthy of respect, self-controlled, healthy in their faith, loving and enduring. In the same way, tell the older women to live the way holy women should live and not to be gossips or slaves to wine. They should be teachers of good things. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to control themselves, to be pure, to be good homemakers, to be morally good, and to obey their husbands. Then no one can say evil things about God's message. In the same way, encourage the younger men to control themselves. You must set an example. You yourself must set an example in everything by doing good deeds. When you teach, be serious and be sincere. Offer a healthy message that cannot be criticized, so that an enemy will feel ashamed, having nothing bad to say against us. Tell slaves to obey their own masters in everything. They must please them and not talk back. They must not steal from them. Instead, slaves must show that they are good and can be trusted completely. Then the teaching of God, our Savior, will look beautiful in every way.
Good evening, everyone. Everybody's asleep again. It's good to have some visitors with us from Branson Church of Christ. It's been a while since I've been there. I'm hoping I'll be able to get to that lectureship, but it's so good to see you guys. I understand that maybe some of you might be moving to this area, so that's what you're kind of looking around for. So if that's the case, we'd be so happy to have you here, and we're so thankful for that. So it's so good to have you guys, really. But everyone, thank you for being here. We're once again still in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We did actually make this into a two-part sermon. So we started this morning talking about older men and older women. We talked about instructions specifically to older men first and then to older women. And then now we're talking about younger women and then younger men. So these things, obviously, our number is kind of missing tonight, but that's okay. We still need to make sure that we ourselves know these things. Things like being reverent, sound in faith, all these things we should be holding ourselves to. Being temperate and love and patience. All these things apply to us all as Christians. So let's make sure we teach these things to our children just as well as we teach these things to ourselves. So, first thing we talked about there in verse 1, all these things which are of course being taught to Timothy to preach to the churches of Christ in Crete, as was the first chapter of Titus was saying, the churches of Christ in Crete are really the ones being dealt with at the time. These instructions are going to be given by Titus whenever he goes out and preaches these things. So these instructions, as we continue on, are specifically for each age group. So as we talked about, older men, older women, younger women, and then younger men. They're behavioral instructions. Instructions that really, as Christians, be exemplifying Christian attitudes, that is Christ-like attitudes. We talked about being sober, like in verse 2. Once again, I won't go over all of these first verses that we went over since we spent a lot of time on those things this morning. We talked about being reverent, how really you need to be earning your respect. Respect is not something that's just given from nothing. Respect is something that's earned. Certainly we all should know that, even from just even dealing with people in life itself. Respect is something that's earned, not only with mankind, but also with God. We know that in Old Testament Israel, as we went through Leviticus 26 this morning, respect was something that was earned. Only by, of course, following God's law would Israel receive those promises and those blessings. Of course, if they didn't, they would receive those cursings. But also, if they repented of their sins, they would also receive the promises and get God's respect. But ultimately, being reverent, that's what we as Christians need to be striving for. Being sober-minded, able to control ourselves, having self-control, being reverent, worthy of respect, being temperate, controlling our tempers, sound in faith, and once again we talked about verse 2, that sound in faith, it's a definite article in the original Koine Greek, so that means sound in the faith, so sound in the doctrine, the teachings overall, sound in these things. You got to know the Bible, know this word that you're reading, know this word that you're going out and you're trying to live every day. Know it. Know it completely. Know it full and wholeheartedly. Don't be just letting other people teach these things to you. Know it and teach it, but also live it and really know why you live it. But let's go ahead and continue in verse 4. Verse 4 here, since that's kind of where we left off. We got into instructions for the older women. We finished that off. But verse 4, we're going to start there and read through 5. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So instructions for the young women here. And keep in mind that older women are to be teaching younger women these things. So should older women also be held applicable to these things as well? Well, of course, if they're going to be teachers of it, they need to be practicers, I had trouble with that word this morning too, of it as well. But behavioral instructions for younger women also. First of all, to love their husbands, to love their husbands. Younger Christian women are to love their own husbands, showing this by word and by works. You know, showing it in the things that they do. The love really here in the Koine Greek is once again one of those phileo loves, that philandrous love, which means even to make love and flirt. So, you know, paying attention to your husbands, and once again, I don't mean to get too much into it. We're getting kind of into Song of Solomon here. But to make love and flirt, I mean, you know, paying attention to your spouse. How often do we do that? Or is it something that we kind of forgot over time? Maybe we need to pay more attention to our spouse. And that's something that older women need to be teaching to younger women. So, of course, we also talked about experience and wisdom this morning. You know, people might say that the older have more wisdom. They have more experience, or they have more wisdom is really what they say. But wisdom is really whenever you know something and then you also practice it, isn't it? That's whenever wisdom really is something that's beneficial at all. You must know it and practice it. So they might have experienced things. You know, you might have an older person who goes out and drinks at the bar all the time. You know, he's misbehaving himself. He's crashing glass everywhere. He's going crazy all the time. He's misbehaving himself, maybe doing all sorts of things in the dark. Then you also have an older man over here who conducts himself well in life, maybe lives Christ-like. Which one is respectable? Obviously the second one, the latter one. Once again, respect is earned. Respect is earned. So we take that with the fluency of the Scriptures. Whenever it talks about like respecting the older and things, respect is earned. You have to earn these things. Just as you earn it with God, you have to earn it even with mankind. So self-control with the young women here, but first that loving your husbands. Both, of course, have responsibility, the man and the woman. Happiness in marriage is based on mutual love. So we might make that clarification. And whenever it talks about wives loving your husband and talks about, you know, it almost seems like, you know, wives have all the responsibility. No, it's mutual. And the Bible does teach both ways. So to love their children as well, as we continue through that verse, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, verse 4. So this Greek word here is phileotechnos, if you want to write these things down. I know some people like to write those down as notes, which means devotion to their children, to love and take care of, you know, to raise properly even in the Lord. So different Greek words, different word parts in the Greek that you can look at. And once again, if you want to really look at the Greek more in depth, you know, the original language of the New Testament Scriptures, well, most of it, that is, you can go to Bible Hub. I showed you the Bible Hub app. You can go to that app and you can see an interlinear Greek text. You can get Greek and English right next to each other. You can really see those words right together. You can see the articles. You can see all the different types of tenses. So those things are, of course, always made available to you in our day and age. But the similar order of authority and family law as decreed by God is seen in like epistles. Let's turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So put your marker there. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3 is where we'll start. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Continuing on, verses 7 through 9. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. Now, there's multiple other texts that are like this. I could go over many more. Let's only turn to Ephesians 5:22 through 23. And this isn't necessarily a lesson on family law, that is, as far as the order of authority, but it is, since these things are really being talked about here in loving husbands, loving children, it's just another side note to go over. Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Of course, putting God first in all things. So there are times whenever the husband can misbehave himself. And of course, the wife has to do its best according to God's will. But Colossians 3, 19 through 21 is another text that we'll read later. But you can write that down as well. Also, keep in mind contextually that one of the best ways for Titus to reach out to young women would have been how? To reach out to the older women. If he can reach out to the older women to teach the younger women, that's really the best way to do it. So that's why Paul really, as of course, is addressing Titus as a preacher here, as a young preacher, to preach to these churches of Christ these things. He's saying, have the older women teach the younger women these good things. Have them do this themselves. So, of course, Titus, that shows us that every single part in the body, as we talked about this morning, is essential. The young, the old, every part in the body is essential. Everybody is needed. When one, you know, lacks or one falls in line, everybody hurts from it. It's the same thing with the human body, with the physical body. If one part of our physical body lacks, it hurts the whole thing. Even mentally, it hurts us completely. So, same thing even with the church, with the body of Christ. Discreet. Let's get into some of these words here. Discreet. And I won't try to go too much in depth with these different word meanings. But discreet in verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. This is Titus 2 again. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. So discreet, meaning young Christian women, should be sensible and with self-control. Prudent and thoughtful. This is comparable to Titus chapter 2 and verse 2, as we talked about this morning, where we would see the word temperate. Chaste, you see that next word there, chaste. You might think of another word that you see often in the Scriptures, that's chastening. So chaste, meaning young Christian women are to be pure. That's one way you can look at it. Pure, maybe even holy, undefiled, but really disciplined. Disciplined according to what? Disciplined according to the Scriptures. Disciplined according to the New Testament law, according to Christ's way, according to His attitudes. The next word there is homemakers in verse 5. Homemakers. What does that mean? That one's obviously a lot more simple. Young Christian women are to be caretakers. Older women are to be teaching them these things. Be concerned for the home. Be, you know, domestic in the home and guardians of the home, so to say. Whenever it says the word home in the Scriptures, the meaning is of the household, which is the God-given family. Remember that the family and the house, whenever it says house in the Scriptures, it's not talking about the stone or the wood, the structure. It's talking about the family group. We're talking about people. We're talking about souls. That's really what's being talked about here. So be concerned for your husband. Be concerned for your children. You see, every part in that family body is essential, just as in the body of Christ. Same kind of thing. See, all these examples and comparisons are being made here. Good is the next word. Good is the next word. Obviously, this one's very simple. Meaning young Christian women need to practice being kind, being gentle, being kind-hearted, good-natured, doing what is beneficial to others. There's lots of different synonyms that I can keep coming up with you for these things, Christians. But remember, I'm not bringing you some type of private interpretation here. These are instructions given to different age groups in the church. These are instructions for us. So let's follow these things. Let's try to be living our lives to where we're worthy of respect in our lives. Let's try to be worthy, you know, of that reverence. Let's try to be temperate. Let's control ourselves. Control our emotions. Control our attitudes. You know, whenever we go out, maybe even to the fast food drive-thru or to Walmart or something, control how you talk to people. You know, control yourself in all things. Of course, we always can do that. Sometimes we make excuse, but we always can. Maybe it's a hard time in life. You know, we all go through hard times plenty of times. But still, we can control ourselves nonetheless. A good example of maybe that these younger women can look to is a woman no other than Ruth, right? Ruth is a good example in the Scriptures that younger women or older women can look to, maybe as a virtuous woman, as she was called. If we look back in Ruth chapter 3, Ruth 3, 10 through 11. Ruth was a virtuous woman, And she really is a prime example, of course, of what young Christian women should be striving to be like. But Ruth 3:10 through 11 states, "Then he said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich.'" Verse 11, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." So not only does really Boaz know that she's a virtuous woman, but all the people of the town know. Can that be said about you? Can that be said not just about our young women here, about our older women here, but about any of us Christians? As we read these things, understand we can apply these things to all of us, every one of our lives. Older man, older woman, you know, younger, whatever. We can apply this to all of us. So instructions, let that be to all of us. And examples like Ruth, of course, will help us in those things. Obedient to their own husbands is the next word that we have there in Titus 2. Obedient to their own husbands. A good reference that we can look at, as mentioned earlier, is Colossians 3:18. Colossians 3:18. We'll read through 19. Colossians 3 and verse 18. I begin there. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Now notice this. "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged." Talks about bondservants after that. But notice it's mutual. It's mutual. Everybody has their part to play in the family body. Everybody. Respect is earned. It's not just given because you're older. It's earned. That's the fluency of the Scriptures. Respect has to be earned. And maybe even, you know, as we need to respect the elderly and the fact that they can't get around as much. We need to take care of them in that way. But still, even so, you need to earn that respect. Earn that respect. And as Christians, really, we need to be giving out that unconditional love of Christ to anyone and everybody. So maybe even it's not just about really respect, but it's about giving out that unconditional love. All these things fit together. They're all conjoined. It's that fluency of the Scriptures once again. Now, reasons for this instruction. Reasons for this instruction here. We saw there in Titus 2 and verse 5, and the end of that, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, how would the Word of God be blasphemed? Of course, it would be blasphemed by the improper actions of a Christian. Hypocrites, evil people, apostates, they can say things against the church because if the church is misbehaving itself, maybe even atheists. You know, there's plenty of debates out there we can get into from atheist to Christian, from from whatever other denomination to real Church of Christ, that is the real Church of Christ. There's many different debates out there, but they have, you know, leeway sometimes because Christians will misbehave themselves. They'll see Churches of Christ splitting over silly things, over opinion-type matters that aren't even matters of law. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. But, of course, all types of the world can see those things and judge us for it. And certainly they have every ability to. They have every almost right to because we're misbehaving ourselves. So these are instructions to keep those things from happening. Once again, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. Let's read Titus 2:6 through 8 now. Titus 2:6 through 8, getting into young men. Young men, we'll finish this out here pretty quick. "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded." There you see it once again. "In all things," verse 7, "showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility." There's more words that we can look at there, but verse 6, "He's also to preach to the young men." It says to exhort there. It means I beg of you, please, or I urge. So Titus is really going to try to urge the young men here to be behaving in this way, to be strong in these different things he's talking about, in this pattern of good works. Of course, also, who should be an example to the younger in these things? The older. The older men should be showing these things themselves, as they were once young men. They were once young. Everybody's once young in their life. And they need to, of course, show that wisdom, and not just maybe experience, but show wisdom towards that younger generation. Show that towards them and try to help them also exhibit those things. Teach that to them even in action, even not in just word, but action, in behavior. But sober-minded, the first word there, Once again, meaning younger Christian men are to be sensible, self-controlled. It's the same original word here in the Greek as discreet in verse 5. So that's the same word as discreet. It's translated in different ways, of course, according to your version. I know the King James Version is a little different, and also the version that Thomas just read there. But Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, Proverbs 1, 1 through 9 is a good reference we can look at. There is really much importance in the teaching of young Christian men. Why is that? What's the importance of in the teaching of young Christian men? That's not to say that it's not important to not teach young Christian women. But young Christian men, who's the one taking the leadership roles in the church? Men have to be that, as decreed by God, as ordained by God. So if there's no more young Christian men that are behaving properly or that are knowledgeable in the things of God and the ways to behave, the church falls. Congregation after congregation will fall. Proverbs 1, 1 through 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man, verse 5, will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For there will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Once again, that's respect and teaching there. That, of course, and this is wisdom. This is not just experience. This is not just, you know, maybe Solomon, you know, really talking about bad things in his life. This is Solomon trying to reach out with not just experience, but wisdom to try to teach his son, to try to teach the younger generation wisdom and instruction, to try to, you know, talk about justice and judgment. And you have an entire book of Proverbs about all these things, talking to his son, and maybe even his sons, plural. So hear the instruction of your father. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Of course, if they're deserving of being able to, you know, not be forsaken in those things. They need to be deserving of that. We talked about being reverent, being worthy of that respect, being worthy of being able to teach like that. 2 Timothy 1:7 is another good verse we can look at. A young Christian man who can't learn to govern himself, of course, is of little or no value to the church. God's doctrine, of course, gives us that ability to govern ourselves. That was 2 Timothy 1:7 for your reference there. But in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern for good works. So you have those next words there, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. So we'll go through these really quick. Integrity, meaning young Christian men are to be trustworthy and incorruptible, to where they're incapable of being false to a trust. Responsibility or pledge. There's a reference we can look back at in Zechariah, actually. In Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. Zechariah 8, 16 through 17. Read that real quick. It says there, these are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgments in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your hearts against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For these are the things that I hate, says the Lord. Integrity. What does it mean? You're incapable, really, of being somebody who's, you know, to blame. Incapable of being somebody who's, you know, lying all the time or, you know, telling falsehoods or living falsehoods. You have integrity to you. You have that respectableness to you. You're a person that people can look to, a person that people can count on. You think Jesus was like that? You think he was a person that people could count on? Of course he was, all the time. In work, in everything he did, he was a perfect man. He lived perfectly. So, of course, people could count on him. The same should be for us Christians. Now, Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Read that real quick. Do not lie to one another. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. So don't lie to one another. Have that integrity. Once again, you see that word reverence in Titus 2. Reverence in verse 7. Being worthy of respect. We talked about that quite a bit, so we won't go back over it. Incorruptibility. Incorruptibility, like that word purity. A young Christian man should be strong enough not to be led to corruption in morals and teaching. So, there's many different ways you can define these different terms. You can look in different types of dictionaries. But all these things, you know, as you go from version to version, really, just try to understand the main meaning. Understand the main meaning. These things, of course, are specifically to each age group in the church. Everybody needs to be demonstrating these things to each other. Older men need to be teaching it to the younger generation. Younger women need to be teaching it to the younger generation. So, instructions here. Instructions for the church overall. So, don't forsake these things. I hope these things, of course, challenge you tonight. A sound speech is the last thing there. Sound speech. Of course, don't be caught in your words. Don't be able to be caught in your words. Be blameless in your tongue. We know about different scriptures that talk about how the tongue is a fire that is really almost impossible to tame or impossible to tame. So have that sound speech, though. Have that sound speech. Do everything you can to make sure that you're thinking before you speak. You're thinking before you even do things. You know, be wise about these different things. Go back and read the Proverbs as we just read there a moment ago. You know, listen to the instruction of your father. If he, of course, was respectable in being able to teach those things to you. Philippians 2, 14 through 18. Philippians 2, 14 through 18. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, verse 16, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So in all things, once again, a young Christian man should try to achieve blamelessness. And not just young Christian men, but everybody. Every Christian should try to achieve that blamelessness. We know about different examples in Scripture who maybe talked about, you know, maybe even being, you know, blameless or almost to the point of completely blameless. Different people, maybe even like Abraham or like Moses at times, were called different things like this. And different other examples in the Scripture. But reasons for the instructions, it's commanded. To be an example to the rest of the church, to their families. You want to raise your kids up well? You want to raise your families up well? You know, live these things out exactly as are being instructed. And of course, Titus is being told to preach all these things to the church. Now we're going to go through this last part real quick. It's about servants. Obviously, we don't have, of course, really what the contextual meaning of that was going, as much going on today. But Titus 2, 8 through 10. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Last group, really. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So instructions now for servants. Instructions for servants. Now, once again, contextually, there was slavery going on in the day. There were even Christian slaves, many Christian slaves during the day and time of the Scriptures being written. So really applied more so contextually during that time, but do we not also have workplaces today where this might also be able to be, you know, listened to? We also have bosses, you know. We have all different types of co-workers. We have different neighbors, even servants to different people, maybe even being a servant just in your local community to different people. In different ways, you can take these things, but really not pilfering, not stealing, not embezzling, you know, not taking things from people that obviously you shouldn't have, not envying in different ways or shoplifting. So good fidelity. Last thing there as a Christian. Good fidelity as a Christian, showing the example of Christ, showing that good faith that we talked about. Now, this is the last text that I'm going to ask you to read with me, and then we're going to be finished tonight. Last text, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 18 through 25. 1 Peter 2, 18 through 25. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if, verse 20, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Verse 21, for to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Let's finish out that chapter there. who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I hope these things have been a challenge to you in this lesson, this two-part lesson that we've had this morning and this evening. Instructions for these different age groups in the church. Of course, these are specific, really, to the age group here, but they can be applied to all of us. Be good livers of these things, just as you are teachers. Be worthy of respect. Be found worthy of that respect toward your family, toward mankind, but first and foremost and ultimately to God first. Be worthy of that respect to God first. Now, if there is anybody here tonight who has any need at all, physically, mentally, or spiritually, prayers for a family member or prayers for yourself, or maybe you have something in your life that amiss or maybe some type of sin you need to get rid of tonight, let us pray with you. Let us take care of you in this way. Let us, of course, ask for that forgiveness of sins tonight with you. We are so ready and willing to do that. Please do come to the front as we're about to stand and sing. If you're not a Christian, which I believe everybody here is, but obviously remember that point of salvation, as always. Believe Jesus is the Son of God, is the Christ. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God before men. Be baptized. We've got it sitting right back here. Be baptized in any water for the remission of your sins, to be added to the kingdom of God, and remain faithful unto death. You will receive the crown of life. If you are subject to the invitation anyway tonight, come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
The blood of Jesus, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No but the blood of Jesus.